Well, this morning, as we come once again to the book of Revelation, I don't know about you, but I love the book of Revelation because whenever you go to the book of Genesis, the word Genesis means beginnings, and then when you come all the way to the end of the Bible and you get to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, it is the consummation of the end of the age. This morning, as we come to the remainder of chapter 6 in the book of Revelation, we see the sixth seal of God's judgment is being poured out upon the world. Now, let me just sort of recap from week to week, just so you and I understand fully and completely as much as we can humanly understand and know according to this interpretation that we're looking at from the book of Revelation. What is happening is in chapter 4, what we looked at was the seen room of heaven once the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is out of this world. When we speak of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're referring to everyone who has been born again since 2,000 years ago. We're looking at all of those that have been saved and born again. And so in chapter 4, when John was told to come up here, that's where we get the picture that we believe that the church will be raptured away from all of the tribulation and the wrath and the judgment that is to come. When we saw that scene in chapter 4, we saw God on his throne. There was a circular rainbow that was complete. It is the color green, which it means everlasting. We saw the four and the living creatures, which represented both the domesticated animals, the non-domesticated animals, and we saw the fowl of the earth, the creation, and we saw the face of a man, which dealt with human life. And so that foreign living creature is representative of all of God's creation. We saw there was a multitude of angels there. We saw that the 24 elders or 24 elders is representative of both the Old Testament and the New Testament and saints of God. And so we see that picture in chapter 4. Then we began to see that there was a scroll in God's hand, and they were looking for someone to take this scroll. It is this seven sealed scroll. What that is are the judgments that are going to fall upon this earth one of these days. And we looked at the first seal and we saw a rider ride across the world stage on a white horse. He will be the one world dictator. He will be the one world antichrist. He will be everything that there is against Christ. He will be revered by the millions and the thousands because he will be a great orator. He will have all of the answers to all of the problems seemingly of this world. He will make a peace treaty with the nation of Israel so that they can rebuild their temple and begin once again those Old Testament sacrificial sacrifices for sin. Remember, because they had rejected Jesus. We saw the second seal open and we saw a red horse rider that represented bloodshed and war that is going to happen on the earth. We saw a third horseman, and that was the black horse that represents all of the famine and the diseases and the pestilences and all of those things. And then we saw the fourth seal open and it represented the pale horse rider, which represented death. That we saw that a fourth of the earth is going to die from diseases and famines and war and bloodshed and starvation. And then when we got to the fifth seal, we saw it was taking place in heaven. There were souls under the altar. And these were people that are going to be martyred for their faith that get saved during the 7 years of tribulation on this earth. And they're crying out saying, oh Lord, how long is it going to be before you take care of those that have martyred us? And remember last Sunday morning, he gave them white robes to comfort them, the robes of righteousness. And he says, just wait a little while, because there's going to be some more that are going to be martyred for their faith. And so we come this morning in chapter 6, verses 12 to 16, and we see this sixth seal that is going to be opened of God's judgment upon this earth. Read with me, if you will, in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 through 16. And I beheld. Now the eye there is John. John was one of the apostles. Remember that. He was one of the 12. He was the only disciple that did not run away from the cross when Jesus was crucified. He would be the only disciple that was not martyred for his faith. All of the other 11 gave their lives in martyrdom, but he would be exiled out into the Aegean Sea on an island called Patmos, and it would be there that the Holy Spirit of the living God moved upon him, and he would write the words through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit on the book of Revelation. He also wrote the book of John. He also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So that's who we're talking about in verse 12. John, and I, that's John, beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, folks, this is not just some earthquake. This is a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell under the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And then the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You see, with the opening now of this sixth seal, we are presented with a scene that Hollywood could never even begin to imagine, nor could they ever create, nor could any other great movie scene in movie history could never create the effects of the catastrophic events when the sixth seal is open. So this morning, I want you to notice four things with me about this. First of all, we are living in a fallen world. We are in a fallen world. And in these verses that we just read, there are six cataclysmic events that are going to take place when this sixth seal is opened and God's wrath and God's judgment is being poured out upon the earth. Now, you may ask the question, why is it that God is going to come, send all of these world events? Why is God going to do that? Two reasons. Number one, God is going to give the Jewish people who rejected the Messiah, he's going to give them an opportunity to be saved during the days of the tribulation. And the second reason for the tribulation is that God will not let sin go unpunished in this world. And so God is going to send his judgment upon this world. Verse 12 tells us that there's a great seismos. seismos out there. It's the Greek word for where we get seismology, where we get where they graph the earth and they see all of the quaking and the shaking and the agitation. It's usually translated as an earthquake. And so in the English language, you and I get the word seismograph, where they record all of the quaking of the earth's crust. Now, seismologists have been recording earthquakes for well over 100 years, and they know that every single year, earthquakes, they're increasing in their intensity. They are increasing in their size, and even more so in the past 30 years. Earthquakes literally are taking place all over the world. It doesn't take you long to hear it on the news or to read it. They always speak about the big one that's coming out of California. The big one, they say, is coming, but let me tell you, according to the book of Revelation, there is one far bigger than that that is going to come upon this world one of these days. Underneath this world, and with those tectonic plates and with all of the super volcanoes that are in the world out there on fault lines all over the world, where there are these super volcanoes and at least 1,500 active volcanoes that are out there in the world. You can only imagine, as those set in various strategic places all over this world on fault lines, that one of these days, whenever this humongous earthquake comes, it's going to shake the entire world. Notice in verses 12 through 14 again. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair there. Back in those days when there was grief and sorrow, they put on this very coarse material, a long robe, and it was black like the sackcloth of goat's hair. It's what that's referring to. And notice verse 12 says, and the moon became as blood. And then notice what he says, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. You talk about a great meteor shower one of these days. Even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. God, one of these days, is going to pull the shade over the sun. He's going to pull the rug out from under the stars. He's going to roll up the sky like a scroll. And everything that's nailed down is going to fall apart. And everything that is now nailed down is going to be torn loose. And meteors are going to be falling on the earth like raindrops. And the world will be plunged into darkness. And the mountains and the islands here are literally moved from their position on the earth to another place. And God is going to grab this world one of these days because of its sin and because of its turning its back on Him, the Savior of the world. He's going to grab this world one of these days by the nape of the neck, and He's going to give this earth a shaking like it's never, ever been shook before or ever will be shook again. In the book of Revelation, there are three earthquakes recorded. One is in chapter 6, one is in chapter 11, and one is in chapter 16. But there's going to be, as these verses indicate, there's going to be this incredible ecological upheaval on this earth. And it's just the foreshadowing of the coming catastrophe upon the earth. No wonder the Bible says creation is groaning for the day of redemption. Let me tell you, when the earth begins to quake and there's earthquakes and volcanoes, and did you realize with those earthquakes and with those volcanoes, all of the tsunamis that are out there and all the people that have been killed through the ages by these tsunamis and the after effects of volcanoes and earthquakes, I can only imagine one of these days when the sixth seal is opened, it's not just an earthquake. This cataclysm that comes is going to be more powerful. It's going to be more intense. It's going to be more destructive than all of the other earthquakes in the history of mankind put together. It's a massive event, and according to John here in the book of Revelation, it will shake the entire world and the heavens. God, at his own discretion, likes to shake the world every now and then. Did you realize he shook the world at Mount Sinai when he gave the law? He shook the world when Elijah called on him. He shook the world the day Jesus was crucified on the cross. And let me tell you, he shook it the day Paul and Silas were in jail. And one of these days, he's going to shake it like he's never shook this world before. But with the sixth seal, it's more than just an earthquake. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 79, Jesus spoke in parallel, contrasting verses that identify what John is speaking about. Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then we go to Mark's gospel, chapter 13 and verse 24 and 25. Once again, parallel commentary here. But in those days, after that tribulation, but in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Luke chapter 21, verses 11 and 25. There will be a great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Look what Ezekiel said in Ezekiel's prophecy in Ezekiel 32, verse 7 and 8. When I snuff you out, God is speaking, I will cover the heavens and darken their stars. I will cover the sun with the cloud, and the moon will not give its light. All the shining lights in the heavens, notice, I will darken over you. I will bring darkness over your land, declares the sovereign Lord. Look what Joel said in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 10. Before them the earth shakes, the sky trembles, the sun and moon are darkened, and the stars no longer shine. Look what Amos said over in the Old Testament in chapter 8, verse 9 through 10. In that day declares the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your religious feast into mourning and all your singing into weeping. I will make all of you wear sackcloth and shave your heads. I will make that time like mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. Let me tell you, blackness and darkness is often associated with judgment. And when God judged the nation of Egypt, remember, he brought thick blackness. And when God came to Mount Sinai to lay down the law, it was shrouded in black smoke. When God judged his son Jesus on the cross that day, from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the whole world went black. And Isaiah looked at this judgment time, and Isaiah saw blackness. Notice what he said in Isaiah 13, verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, that's speaking of the tribulation, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Notice, as we look at this, what all is going to happen one of these days when all of this takes place. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Can you see from these verses We see blackness and darkness that's going to come one of these days over this universe. And with all of the volcanic activity that's out there, with all of the super volcanoes and 1,500 world active volcanoes, you can only imagine as they're out there on those fault lines, you can see how the debris and the particles and the substance in the air is going to be able to create the redness in the moon and the blackness in the sun. Let me tell you, when the sixth seal is opened here in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, it will have an effect upon the entire world and upon every class of people, from kings to paupers and all of the nations of the world. The book of Hebrews tells us that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Folks, we are living in a fallen world. Secondly, this morning, we are living in a very fleeing world. It's a very fleeing world. It's a fleeting world. Let me tell you, we sing a song, Time Softly and Tenderly. Jesus is calling for you and me. Time is now fleeting. The moments are passing from you and me. Notice in verse 15 of Revelation chapter 6, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Folks, let me tell you, there'll be no place to hide when this event takes place. Let me tell you, in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, after they sinned in the Garden of Eden, what'd they do? They went and they tried to hide themselves. Let me tell you, just as it was in the beginning, they tried to hide themselves, but God came looking for them. Let me tell you, when Jesus comes again one of these days, the Bible says here that all of these kinds of people are going to be hiding. But there'll be nowhere to hide. They'll pray for the rocks and the mountains. They'll pray, but their prayers will be too late. There was one place in the Bible, in the book of Luke, where Jesus was talking about if the people couldn't praise, even the very rocks would cry out. Let me tell you, we are living in a fleeing world, and one of these days in this future episode of life's drama here on this earth, let me tell you, it's going to be a fleeing world, and these people are going to be running to the rocks and the hills and the caves to hide themselves, but they will not be able to do it. Thirdly, I want you to notice, not only are we living in a fallen world and a fleeting world, but thirdly, we're living in a very foolish world. Look in verse 16. In verse 16, and said, what did these people that are running and trying to hide from God himself, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. I can only imagine. One song that most of us love, a hymn, is It Is Well With My Soul. Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight and the clouds be rolled back like a scroll. Let me tell you, when the clouds are rolled back like a scroll, according to the book of Revelation, the world is going to see him who sits on the throne in heaven, and they're going to run to the rocks and the mountains and the caves to try to hide themselves. Let me tell you, this will be one of the world's largest prayer meetings, but their prayers will do them no good. It'll be too late. They've run to the wrong place. They've run to the caves instead of the churches. They're praying to the wrong person. They call out to the rocks and to the mountains. Instead of crying out to the Rock of Ages, they pray to creation, the rocks and the mountains, rather than to the Creator. They head for the rocks of the earth when they could have hidden in the cleft of the Rock of Ages. We read later on in this scene that amazes John. It's almost unbelievable that at this point, men still refuse to repent. And during this time of tribulation, they will do the same thing. As a matter of fact, just like Pharaoh of old, their hearts will become hardened. Not only did they refuse to repent, but according to Revelation chapter 16 and verse 11, they begin to blaspheme the name of God. Notice, and blaspheme the God of heaven. Why? Because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Hebrews 10:31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so when the sixth seal of judgment is opened in the book of Revelation, we see a fallen world and a fleeting world. But we see a foolish world. They try to hide from the one who created the caves and the rocks and the mountains. They tried to hide from the one who has been long suffering, who has patiently given time and time and time and time again to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But fourthly and lastly this morning, it's a fearful world. It's a fearful world. Verse 17 says, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Let me tell you, for millennia, prophets of old, Joel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Amos, they all gave prophecies of this future date in time. And let me tell you, preachers have proclaimed the gospel message and have tried to warn mankind of what's coming. I remember a song many, many years ago called, "Oh, Sinner Man, Where Are You Gonna Run To? Where Are You Gonna Run To? Oh, Sinner Man, Where Are You Gonna Run To on that day?" And the Bible says they'll run to the rocks and the mountains. They'll try to hide in the caves. Let me tell you, they will do it all to no avail. If you will not acknowledge the love of God, if you will not appropriate the grace of God, if you will not accept the Son of God, then you will not avoid the wrath of God one of these days. Billy Graham wrote his book, a book on the book of Revelation. He entitled it Approaching Hoofbeats, where he speaks about the four horsemen that we've already looked at, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. He wrote it about the four horsemen of the apocalypse in this day of judgment that's coming. When Billy Graham wrote that some years ago, he said, "How near are the horsemen right now?" He said, "I don't know. All I can say with certainty is this, that with every sign, it points to one fact. The hoofbeats of the four horsemen are approaching, and they are sounding louder and louder every day." And that's why he said, I entitled my book Approaching Hoofbeats, because the indication of God's judgment is growing stronger and stronger with each passing hour. And then he said, pray God, open our ears to hear and our eyes to see their warning before it's too late. Now, church, I want to just say this morning. I think Billy Graham's right. I believe it is 1 minute till midnight on God's time clock. And I believe that the moments are ticking away speedily. But I want to say this. In a time that you and I are living in, I don't know about you. I don't know what you think about all that we've been experiencing. But never before in all of my lifetime, and never before in the lifetime of people in their 80s, 90s, never before has anyone seen the entire world shut down like you and I have seen for the past 3 months. And God only knows what the future holds. But with all that I've seen, I never thought I'd see the day the church doors would have been closed. Did you? Let me ask you a question. What does it say to you and to me this morning? Will things ever revert back to what they once were? Will things ever be the same again? Will churches be filled with people after this? Or will people kind of go on down the road? If there's any one thing that this has taught me is this. How quickly this whole world was put on notice. And when I heard a scientist, a leading world scientist, say the other night on television that in the 21st century, and that's what you and I are living in, that all of the pandemics are already out there on the horizon. He says there is going to be a greater, far greater pandemic that will kill millions and multiply millions of people in the days ahead. He said it will deal with chickens. Can you understand why the third rider of the black horse and the fourth rider of the pale horse, and they're followed by death and disease and pestilences from the beast of the field as well as war and bloodshed. And then later on in the book of Revelation, not only does a fourth of the world die at one place, but a whole lot more die and one half of the world will have died. I don't know about you, but with what I've seen taking place and with all the violence and wickedness and lawlessness and godlessness that's taking place in America right now, it wouldn't surprise me anything that may happen. But I know this, we have two choices because God made us with a vacuum on the inside. He made us with a vacuum, and that vacuum can only be filled with a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, when you see the book of Revelation, where they'll run to the rocks and the caves and the mountains and cry out for those things to hide them from Him that sits on the throne, I can only imagine when the sky is rolled back like a scroll and they see the one in the throne room of heaven, and He's coming, and there's going to be no place for them to run. There'll be no place for them to hide. I don't know what's going on in the world right now other than to say, to me, there is an ominous warning in the air. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I know that the Bible says the angels of heaven don't know. The Bible says Jesus Himself doesn't know, only God the Father. But one of these days, as Sharon sang a few weeks ago at the midnight cry last time she sang, one of these days He's going to say, son, it's time to go bring your children home. That will be the church. That will be every person that has ever been saved for the past 2,000 years during the church age. You and I are living in the church age right now. It's called the age of grace. When the last person, according to God's elective purposes, gets saved in the church age, God's going to rapture the church out of this world. And then all hell is going to turn loose upon this earth. Oh, for a little while it'll look okay because this one world dictator, this one world leader, this one world ruler, he's got the answers to all of life's issues. And he will look like he's going to usher in peace and bring things to some semblance of order. Little will the world at that point know what is fixing to fall upon them. I don't know when Jesus is coming. He could come before we say amen in a few minutes. He may not come for 50 years. He may not come for 100 years. But I just believe based upon all the prophetic scripture in the Bible, He said the generation that lives to see some of these things will be the generation that will see Him come back. I know this. Something happened. Something changed 3 months ago. And things are not the same. They're not the same. with people. They're not the same with families. They're not the same in jobs. They're not the same in churches. All I'm saying is this. Poor old Noah struggled for 120 years and preached the gospel. Jeremiah preached for 30 or 40 years. And then Jeremiah finally, they took his life from him. Poor old Noah, he kept on with whatever kind of hammer he had back then. Whatever kind of saw, whatever kind of tools he used to whittle out that wood, to put that ark together. He told them for 120 years. Can you only imagine if you preach for 120 years and you never had one person converted except seven of your family members? And scholars say that during that time that there were probably at least 1 million people on the earth. Can you only imagine if you preached all that time? It had never rained before. I mean, this guy's crazy. Can you imagine how they laughed and they scoffed and they mimicked? But let me tell you, on a certain day, at a given moment, God said, Noah, it's time for you and your other seven members to come into the ark. And that ark is a picture of salvation from the Old Testament. It's an Old Testament picture of salvation. Let me tell you, God sealed the door. Eight people. Eight people in that known world were the only ones that were saved. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I get to thinking one of these days when you stand in the presence of Jesus, I'm just grateful that a long time ago, he paid the fare and he offered me a free ticket. And I took it. And I'm grateful that this, we will either worship the Lamb or we'll experience the wrath of the Almighty. It's a choice. You get to choose because God gives us a free will. Have you chosen to receive the ticket that he bought at Calvary? You see, I'm sure that when the ark closed that day, I have no doubt about it. You talk about screams, cries. Any of y'all ever see the Titanic when it went down, as people screamed, as people cried, as people tried to grab onto something to save them in the murky waters in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on that night? Not April 14th, 1912. Can you only imagine when this scripture comes to fruition and they run? I mean, the great men, the men that everybody look up to, the politicians, and the, it says the rich and the poor, the pauper, it says the bond and the free. Can you only imagine? The screams that are going to come. Let me tell you, they screamed for Noah. It was too late. He had warned them. He had given them 120 years. The book of Revelation just brings that home. Chapter 16, verse 11. They repented not. They were willing to run to the rocks and the hills and the caves to fall on us and hide us from him who sits on the throne. Can you even imagine? Let me tell you, they'll cry. But it's too late. Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven. I don't know about you, but I think about that verse an awful lot. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven. Jesus himself said that. He said, there'll be people that will say, well, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We heal people in your name. And Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. There'll be religious people one of these days that will wind up in a place called hell. because they did not have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder Satan is a liar and a deceiver and a murderer. He can divert your attention from the Rock of Ages. He will do everything that he can in his power to keep you out of heaven someday. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for the truth of your word. Father, whenever we read all of these futuristic situations in this great book, oh God, and we see that there are all of these things all over the world right now, diseases and pestilences and plagues, and we see all of these volcanoes, and we see these hurricanes and tornadic activity, and we see these earthquakes, and we see these fault lines that are all over the world, and to realize one of these days when you choose to shake this world, God, in darkness, and the stars begin to fall from the heavens, people begin to hide, and there's nowhere to flee, and there's no place to hide. Oh God, help us to be faithful in moments of discouragement. Help us to be faithful in a world that is hopeless without the Rock of Ages. God, help us. Oh God, here at New Hope Baptist Church, keep us pumped. Keep us faithful. Faithful in sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel, giving our finances back to your kingdom's work. God, help us not to be discouraged and depressed during this time, but may we see the incredible hope in all of this mess. And that hope is the living Christ. Oh God, speak to our hearts. If there's someone today listening or someone here in the sanctuary that needs to give their heart and life to you, may they reach out by faith and receive you as their Lord and Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.